Amen. Thank you very much. Good to be with you. And great to be on the streets yesterday. Yes. Despite the rain. Look, there's a pattern to this talk already today because, you know, yesterday we were on the streets in the rain and a few weeks ago some of us were in the mountains in the rain. So, I think the Lord is saying something about getting out in the rain. Pushing past some of our comforts. Because, you know, comfort will keep us from all kinds of good stuff. And comfort nearly kept me from a great walk a few weeks ago. But other people were pushing me, so I had to get out in the rain, and I enjoyed myself. So I want to encourage us all to get wet, get out in the rain this morning. Does that sound good? Yes, Colin. Yes, that's good. Oh, dear. Right, okay. So on the mountaintop. Oh, look at that. Cute little baby. Don't find many babies on the mountaintop. But when I was asked to speak on joy, obviously, Christmas, you know, this is the verse that springs to mind, isn't it? Yes, Colin. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to make sure you're awake. It says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Which will be for some of you. One or two of you, maybe. For all the people. Woohoo! Well, some of us. A saviour is born for you, who is Christ the Lord. That is an amazing story. And obviously that talks to a time when the shepherds were on the hillside and looking after some sheep, doing their everyday ordinary things, and something happened to break into their ordinary everyday lives, which brought them a lot of joy. And first of all, it brought them a lot of terror. So there's another thing, a breakout of comfort. So we've got rain and terror now. But anyway, this is the morning of joy. And the angel comes and he says, don't be afraid. I've got good news of great joy for you. And of course, that news didn't really do anything to them, did it? No, it didn't. I mean, that news alone was probably not enough to bring them a lot of joy. They had to, it was like a present. They had to open it. And so joy is a gift that God has for us all this morning. But actually, we have to open it. Okay? And so I want us just to give the neighbor a nudge. Say, you've got to open joy this morning. Go on. Because that requires us to participate. And the shepherds did a couple of things to participate in discovering joy. Number one is, they believed what they were told. Now, of course, they had an epiphany. They had angels coming to them with a peering in the sky. And, you know, maybe you believe that. This morning you've just got me. I'll pay you later, Andy. But the thing is, it's the truth is the same. If we are to get unwrapped this present of joy, we need to believe what we hear. If we don't believe, we won't act. Because our actions fundamentally are driven by what we believe. So they believed the angels and they acted on it. They went and actually looked for this saviour that was going to bring joy to all the world. And the angels told them, of course, that this baby was going to be lying in a manger, which is a strange place to find a baby. That's a strange sign. And so when they found that baby, their joy erupted. And they knew that they weren't having visions due to alcohol or drugs or any other kind of substance abuse. They knew that they'd had a vision of angels who told them the truth. And they went home, the Bible says, rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But their circumstances hadn't changed, had they? They were still out in the cold. They were still hanging out with the sheep. You know, it's not... You know, shepherds had a pretty rough deal. They weren't very well respected. They were nobodies, really. And their lives hadn't really changed. They were still facing a lot of tough stuff in their lives. And yet they were filled with joy. Because they'd heard, they'd believed, they'd acted. And they'd experienced something of God. And that's what God has for us all this morning. Hallelujah. And I know that God has, you guys are in a continual cycle of that, aren't you? Hearing, believing, and experiencing. And therefore, joy is a joy cycle of hearing, believing, and experiencing the goodness of God. Amen. Come on. That's what makes you want to dance. So, I want to take us on a little journey from the shepherds to the kings. Smooth transition. Because if he's a saviour, what has he saved us from? And I was thinking about this, and just a quick thought sprang to mind, which I just want to share with you guys. You've probably already seen it already. But I thought about the gifts that the wise men came. And I thought, actually, they represent three different things that God saved us from through Jesus. And the first one's gold, which of course represented Jesus was going to be a king, not just an ordinary peasant baby. So not many peasant babies receive gold. He received gold as a sign that he was going to be king. And kings are kind of outward authority, outward influences. And it's almost like God saying, I'm going to save you from all those outward influences by giving you a new king. Someone who's going to rule over you. He's going to be our outward influence. Not the other kings, not the Julius Caesars or the other Caesars that were around. Not the rotten kings that are forcing us to do all these kind of crazy things like trek across deserts when we're pregnant. Well, some of us. And so he was going to become their king to save them from outward external influences. But then there's frankincense. And frankincense is a lovely fragrance. I've got some in this jar in my pocket. Some anointing oil. That's not a jar. That's a bit of thing. But yes, it smells great. And it's a priestly anointing oil, a fragrance. And so Jesus was going to be one we worshipped. And that was going to save us from lots of internal stuff, from the unhealthy desires that war against us, that actually lead us into idolatry, lead us chasing after things that actually aren't any good for us. And if we're all honest, we all are aware of those. But Jesus came to lead us away from those because he's the most precious, he's burning desire, he's the one desire that overrides every other desire and pulls us towards God. Amen? Come on. And then the last one, myrrh. You know, myrrh was another smelly substance that was actually used, a beautifully smelling substance, actually used in the embalming of dead bodies. And so this was a sign that Jesus was actually going to free us from the fear of death. He was going to face death and joyfully, in a way, face death, despite the tears and the blood that he shed on the way. Actually, he chose to do it for the joy set before him. The joy set before him to set us free from every fear. So that nothing in this world, because, you know, one of the things that's going to hold us back is fear. Fear is a killjoy. Anxiety is a killjoy. And God came to set us free from everything that would hold us back from joy through fear, including our biggest enemy, which is death. So I just like that. That was great. I wanted to explore that a little bit more. And there's some joyful chaps. There was much rejoicing. Anybody seen Life of Brian? There was much rejoicing. Oh, that's the Holy Grail, isn't it? What is the route to joy? How do we find joy? How do we help joy to grow? Because like everything in life, our emotions, they flow from our actions and from our choices and from the things that we decide to do. And so I've already talked about that joy circle. But I was led to think about John 15-17, and Jesus says, I want you to have my joy. I want you to share my joy, that your joy may be full. So I started to look it up, and then I realized something quite amazing. You know, joy is only mentioned 60 times in the New Testament, okay? But seven of those times are in those three chapters of John. So more than 10% are in that one small space. And it's one of my favorite spaces to dwell in the scripture because it's the last night that Jesus had with his disciples. And it's the most full account we get of what he said to them on that night. And so I like to just dwell in that and read it and reread it. And so I looked up where joy appeared in that setting, that teaching that Jesus gave them. And it appeared in three different places, to my mind anyway. And therefore I came up with three S for us on this journey to joy. There's fellowship with Jesus, there's faith in Jesus, and there's fearlessness through Jesus. It's like a journey into joy, a bit like that journey up the mountain we had the other day, John, when I didn't want to go. And I love the mountains. The weather must have been bad. So let's do that, okay? Oh, look. Fellowship with Jesus. Now, obviously, you're familiar with this section of scripture, aren't you? So I don't need to read it all. Do I? I'll read a couple of bits. Just because scripture's a strange power of grabbing hold of our hearts. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why I'm a follower of Jesus. One day somebody bought me a Bible. Just ruined my life. Well, in a good way. It ruined me for anything else. So I like to read a bit. In John 14, you know, if you've heard me speak on this passage of scripture before, these three chapters, you'll know that when I read these chapters now, I can see nothing else but actually an invitation to intimacy with God. And so when Jesus starts off, the disciples ask him a question, show us the way, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they say, show us the way. I am the way. I am the way. Follow me. I am the way. And he says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and you can come and live with him. So there's that kind of invitation to live with God. And then in verse 15 he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. Again, there's that sense of God not leaving us, but being with us, this time by his Spirit. And then lastly, that verse 23, where Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And so often we separate God out and said he only lives in us by his Spirit. But this verse makes it perfectly clear that there's the whole Trinity that comes to live with us and to fellowship with us and to be with us and invites us to live with him, which is amazing, isn't it? Honestly, it's so profound. And this is the core of our faith. Our faith is not a religion. Our faith is an invitation into a deep relationship with a God who loves us passionately, which is incredible. And that's the springboard to joy. There's a lot of joy that flows from that. There's a lot of joy that flows from that because, A, we're all invited. And that God is a gentle God, a humble God. You've heard me say this again and again, that he comes where he's invited. And that's amazing. Hello, friend. He comes where he's invited. But the good news is that we're all invited. Every one of us. Because of what Jesus has done. See, God's anger has already been appeased by what Jesus has done. God's anger with the world, his frustration with all of the sin, all of the pain, all of the heartache, has already been taken out on Jesus. Actually, Jesus has cleared up the whole mess. So we've already been forgiven in that sense. We just need to come to him. That's his call. And we all know that, but often we don't realize that God only comes when we call him. He's so gentle. And that's why it says, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. That's why it says, come to me, or you are weary. Because I want to give you rest. Sounds like a great, great offer. Come, come, come. And you see this in scripture again and again and again. We're celebrating Christmas, but Mary, Jesus would not have come unless Mary had invited him. She says, after getting the news that God wanted to bring the Savior through her, she says, let it be to me as you have said. That was an invitation. God had invited her into intimacy. She invited him back. That's how friendship works. It's not rocket science. There it is. It's the same. That's why God created the nation of Israel in the first place. It wasn't to just pick out one person or one group of people as special to ignore all the rest. It was to get out one person, one group of people who would invite him in so that he could save all the rest. Which is amazing. You and me. So Israel, the purpose of Israel was just to say, come, crying out for the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah, crying out for the Messiah. That's why when Jesus is born, there's an old man called Simeon in the temple, led by the Spirit into the temple. On the day he's born, he says, hey, come on, give me that baby. Now I can rest in peace because my eyes have seen the consolation of Israel that he promised me I would not die before I saw. Wow. God needed that people like Simeon to be crying out saying, come, Lord, I'm waiting for your consolation. I'm waiting for the Messiah to come before he could come. You know, and today in this room, Jesus is wanting to come in a deeper, more meaningful way. Carrie read out a beautiful verse in Ephesians earlier. You know, I pray that you'll be enlightened, you know, have that spirit of enlightenment, that power to know his love. But you know, the truth is, Jesus says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's an invitation again. If we're hungry, if we're hungry to know, if we want him to be with us, he's going to come rushing in. If we barge one of those guests that comes with loads of gifts that barges the door down the moment you've got the latch undone. You know, he can't wait to come in, but he does like to be asked. That's amazing, isn't it? This morning, let's open our hearts again. Or maybe for the first, if you don't know Christ, the very best thing you can do, and I say this without any, I just do it. Don't waste another day. Invite him in. Ask him if he'll come and live with you and be with you. That would be the best decision you ever make. He's the gentlest, most precious, most humble, most joyful, most hopeful friend you will ever have, most faithful friend you will ever have. And so do that. And if you want to know how, come and speak to Kerry or myself, one of the leaders, afterwards. We will help you. It's easy peasy. But at the end of time, of course, what happens at the end of time? What's the last few verses of the Bible? Anybody know? Come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Almost the very last words are, you know, amen. Come. And Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Well, that seems like a long time to us. But, you know, he's basically waiting until the majority of humanity are saying, come. And one day, there's going to be so many of us saying, come, Lord, come. He's going to say, all right, then. And he's going to come manifest his presence across the whole world. Isn't that glorious? But even in that, even for that day, that final day, which we long for, when there'll be no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain, no more mourning, which sounds fantastic, wonderful. God is waiting for us to say, come. Isn't that amazing? That puts a responsibility on us, guys. Come on, let's say, come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so brilliant. You know, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, because it's not been, because he won't force his way in, he waits to be asked. God. Are we hungry? Yeah, come on. Someone's hungry. And so often we just let life get on top of us, and we let the ordinary humdrumness of it, the rain, beats us down, so we just don't expect him to come, and we stop asking him to come. Let's not make that fatal mistake. Because God breaks into the ordinary, everyday routine of our lives with amazing regularity when we invite him. Of course there are going to be troubles, of course there are going to be hardships. The rain does not stop, just let me tell you, because you say come. But there's joy that comes, and there's excitement that comes, and there's breakthrough that comes, which gives you enough joy to take the next step to get a bit more up the mountain. Do you know what I mean? Come on, let's do that. Okay. So there's an invitation that needs to go out, but there's also obedience there, isn't there? If you keep my word. If you keep my word. There's a sense of, disobedience will totally rob us of joy. Disobedience leads us to a place of feeling guilty. When we know we don't do something we know we should do, or we do something we know we shouldn't do, we end up feeling rubbish. There's no joy in that. Cut it off. Jesus says, might as well gouge your eye out, or cut your leg off, or your arm off, or rather than do without that. Joy. Let's live in joy. That's why we love everyone we meet. Please listen carefully. This is what Brother Yun said in Living Water, one of the Chinese Christians who is famed for his passion for God. He said, please listen carefully. The key for experiencing the flow of God's living water in your life is obedience. And he was someone that knew how to... He knew joy despite his circumstances. You know, there was, he tells times when he's in prison and being beaten and stuff, and you think, oh my, how can anybody be joyful? And he would say, yeah, I rejoiced in my cell alone night after night, just rejoicing because God was with me. Amazing. Joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Joy is not affected by the weather. Joy overcomes the weather. We can be joyful despite the weather. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's make a commitment to be joyful because we have something to celebrate despite the weather that we're facing in our lives. Come on. We should all be dancing, really, should we, all the time? Let's be honest. My only wonder is why we don't. Is it true? When we think about it, isn't it true? Just that we just get so fixated on the raindrops. And they are cold and they are wet. And yesterday it was cold. My hands and my feet were aching. Yeah. And then I had to go to the ice rink. More cold. Joy of joys. Yeah. But, you know, so we have to push through sometimes. You know, there was a couple of weeks ago I was preaching. I was invited into a Bible study group at the Royal Borough, which is great. I love that because I had one myself when I was a young Christian. And I was invited in, and those were good days. Anyway, sorry, reminiscing. And I was invited in, so I started going in and speak, and I spoke on honey. Have you heard me talk on honey? I don't know, where God says, you know, I would have given you honey from the rock if you'd have asked, which is amazing. Not just water to live, but honey that brings a light to your eye. Wow. Oh, Psalm 81, verse 16. Read it, meditate on it, let it feed your soul. Anyway, I was preaching on that to them, and I got carried away, and I told story after story of God giving me honey and doing crazy things in my life, and I ran out of time. Thank you. Because that never happens to me. Yeah, I know my own weakness. I kept carried away. Anyway, but I had lots of stories to tell, and I wanted to tell stories. But then again, at the end, I realized I ran out of time. I felt sick. I thought, oh, come on. I wanted to minister to these people. I wanted to pray for them. I wanted to see what God wants to. And I nearly didn't do that. I nearly pulled back from it. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to minister to them. So I just took courage and said, okay, I'm going to be obedient. Because it's not, you know, honestly, even when you're someone who's used to being ministering, right, which I am fairly used to it now, after all these years with my grey hair, you know, there's still an effort, actually, to push through, to make yourself vulnerable, to actually say, you believe that God is saying something to someone. Or you believe that God wants to, and that's not easy. It takes courage, and it takes, even if you've done it 100 times before, it may take less courage, because it takes more the first few times. But, you know, it still takes effort and courage. And so I could have easily backed down and just said, because they were all enjoyed what they'd heard. But actually, God wanted me to do something. I knew he did. And do you know what? Something amazing happened when I pushed through. I gave one word to one guy. But then there's this lady. I sat down. I thought, I've got to give you a word. Because you're the one that God said I've got to give you a word to. And I didn't know what it was. So I just started rambling and saying to her, you know, oh, well, you know, God's got honey for you too, because that was my message. God's got honey for you too, and he's not going to let you go without, and he's going to be there for you. And I started to prophesy into her life on the back of that. Anyway, at the end, do you know her name? What was it? Oyenade, I think it was. Oyenade. I think she's Nigerian, I don't know. But she told me what that meant. Anybody know what that means? Yes, it means honey. God had honey for honey. Honey was not going to miss out on the honey. That was her name. And she doesn't come. She never comes to that group. She was invited that day, especially. And God had set it up for her to receive the word about honey. I love it when he does that. Honestly, I really love it when he does that. And she writes me an email a few days later. She gets hold of my email address from someone. And she writes me an email saying, I just want to thank you so much for those words. That words brought life to me. I was living in darkness. And since that day, I've been singing. Joy has entered my life. Come on. Just a bit of obedience, guys. You know. So that's, anyway. Let's move on. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time again. We don't want that, do we? Oh, look. That's changed while I've been looking at. Invitation. See, we invited some guys to come and share our joy, didn't we, Jono? And that's where we ended up, lost and alone in the clouds, in the hail, in the wind. But we had fun. Sounds fun? Anyone want to join us? Sign up. Grow a beard. Okay, right. Faith in Jesus. Dear, maybe we could have started with faith, or you could switch these two around in a way, because they're equally important. But it doesn't stop with just... a knowledge of your forgiveness and just trying to do what he asks you to do and live in love. That's because that's what you, if you're obedient, that's what you do. You just love people. It's not difficult. It's not a whole list of rules for us to be obedient to. You do realize this, don't you? There's only two. Love God, love people. We can all remember that, right? That's peace. Love God, love people. So, moves on, chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. And abide in my love. Live in my love. Dwell in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. And that your joy may be full. Abiding with God, fellowshipping with God, living with God, being obedient to God. That's where joy comes from. Our joyful God. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Have I said that before already? Greater love has no one than this. And he laid down his life for his friends. He even goes out to walk in the rain with them when they want to go out in the walk in the rain. And he doesn't want to. Well, she doesn't want to. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. Hold on a minute. I thought servants do what you command anyway. Never mind. What he means is you're doing it from your own will because you know that's what I want. If you're my friends, you do what I want out of your own heart. No longer do I call you servants because a servant waits to be told. A servant waits to be ordered. You know, but you... A servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you. Love one another. It's really straightforward, isn't it? It's not just about a head knowledge. This is about becoming friends with someone, being intimate with them. It's about intimacy, developing friendships, spending time, hanging out, asking for things, talking, chatting. And we discover in that what God is like. Become his friends. We know he loves to heal. We know he loves to set free. We know he loves to bring hope and peace and freedom. We know he loves to bless people when they don't deserve it. We know he's outrageously gracious, don't we? Do you recognize him? So that's how we act. That's who we are with those around us, which is amazing. And then, you know, he says that we're to ask for stuff in a confident expectation because we know that's what he loves to do. And when we do that, he does it. You know, and that's one of the most thrilling joys that we can have as Christians is to know that we're working with God and to see him partner with us. Honestly, I was up in... Newcastle. I go up to Newcastle regularly, and I met my daughter's pastor in Durham, long story, this time round, and he said, why do you keep going to Newcastle? So the Methodists, for goodness sake, I used to be a Methodist, they're pretty dead. I just told him, God is doing stuff, so I keep going. I'm partnering with God up there. So 2 years ago I was up there, I got a chance to pray with a lady. He said she had the same syndrome as the elephant man. And I prayed with her, and I saw her a few months later, and she says, do you know, that week you prayed for me, I walked on the beach for the first time in 11 years. She woke up without pain in her feet for the first time in years. That's our joy. To partner with God. Amazing. That's your joy. Don't let the devil steal it from you. A year later, I was preaching on the love of God, a bit like I'm doing to you guys now, and I was giving some words out at the end, and a lady screamed, just this time last year, she screamed, and she said, the darkness is chasing me, it's been chasing me for decades. And I immediately went over and prayed with her, because I knew the darkness had to go. Because when we partner with God, you know, we're a light, aren't we? And the Bible says, you're the light of the world, and when the light of the world comes across some darkness, what happens? It doesn't just tremble, it flees, it has to go. So you push in. And I pushed in and she screamed really loud. So I thought my ears were going to burst, literally. And she slumped on the chair and then she says, ah. And a smile spread across her lips. And they tell me that she's a transformed woman. She's joy-filled. That's great to know. God is still working with me. I'm still partnering with him. That's why I'm joyful. Now, I was up there just a few weeks ago, and a lady called Jane came up to me after when I spent the day preaching to them. They're doing a daytime one now. And she said, thank you so much for the Ignite course. Thank you so much for coming up regularly. She said, honestly, when I started the course, I did the course 3 years ago. She said, and when I joined the course, I did not believe that God would speak to me. I did not believe that God would use me. Now, she says, God speaks to me every day. She believes this stuff now. I preached this message on John 15 to her about friendship with God. She believes it now. She's in that circle of belief and experience. And she said to me, do you know what? I'm going to do a 3-day mission in my town next summer. Come on. This is joyful. This is our birthright. To partner with God to release joy. Not just to experience joy, but to bring joy through what we carry. You're a joy bringer. Oh, well. Come on. Oh, yeah. You know, yesterday, I don't know, just go on. Prayer is the key. Have I got time to do that?
Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a Victorian pastor who regularly preached to a congregation of 10,000 people. His sermons were published weekly and distributed throughout the globe. He was a writer, started an orphanage, a college. He was famous and busy. But he was a man of prayer. He once said this, all that a college course can do for a student is rough and external compared to the spiritual and delicate refinement obtained by communion with God. All our libraries and studies are mere emptiness compared with our closets. We grow, we wax mighty, we prevail in private prayer. I'm inspired by his idea that when we pray, we are delicately refined. In that place of private prayer, God shapes us into the people he wants us to be with kindness and gentleness. So today, let's make that our prayer. Lord, delicately refine me. Amen.
Amen. Come on. You could do worse than watch that every day. Lord, delicately refine me. Help me to develop intimacy with you through prayer. To be bold enough to ask you to do stuff. To make the rain bearable. Oh no, there I am trudging in the rain after I gave in. I did my darndest to try and persuade these guys not to go out in the rain, didn't I, John? I preached at them. I said, do you want to go out tomorrow? I've walked all these years. The weather forecast is terrible. We don't want to go out tomorrow. Let's cancel the walk. And then Dave Van and a couple of other people said, no, I want to go. I thought, oh. Okay, that's me enjoying myself despite the rain. And sometimes we've just got to put our heads down. Honestly, sometimes you've got to do that. But honestly, there's joy in the journey. There's joy in that. When that photograph I showed you the first moment of us on the mountaintop, I had a smile on my face. I enjoyed that day very much. And I thank God for John and for David now, even though I was cursing in the beginning of the day. No offense. That's to remind me not to go on too long. Shut up. Anyway, obedience. Obedience. Quickly. Joy. Joy is mentioned four times in this four verses. Four times in four verses. Quickly, let's read it. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. Oh, that doesn't sound very good, does it? That's rain. But the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, and women can probably relate to this more than us guys, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. This is a joy that cannot be robbed from us. Hallelujah! No matter how heavy the rain gets, until now, you have asked me for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Amazing. But this speaks to us of the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ. And you know, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, so it seems crazy to bring in the death and resurrection. But you can't separate out the life and death and resurrection. That is the good news. It's the story of the whole thing. That's what makes the birth of this baby so special. That he would go on to live the life he lived and die the death he did and be raised from dead. Set us free from everything that would hold us back. Hallelujah. Come on. And, you know, that's living like heaven is near. When we believe this stuff, we step out and do stuff with him, knowing that he's with us, knowing that nothing can harm us in any way. You know, yesterday I could have given in to fear. Yesterday we're out on the streets. You know, that's not easy to do, go out on the streets and try and talk to strangers. They don't want to be talked to. They just want to go and do their shopping. And do you know what? Some of the first people I spoke to, apart from some neighbours, which was nice, I spoke to one lady. She said to me, this is cruel. Keeping these animals out on the streets, on this hard stone, that's just cruel. You're cruel to animals. And then I thought, oh, yeah, I moved away from the animals. And I went up to the other side. And I got to the other side, and I said, Happy Christmas to this guy. He wandered off, and this guy said to me, yeah, you insulted him. I said, I beg your pardon? He said, he's not a Christian. He was insulted because you said Happy Christmas to him. I thought, oh, my word. Maidenhead, what's happened to you? This is, you know, what shall I do? I stood my ground. I said, look, if you'd have wished me Happy Eid or Happy whatever, you know, I would have said, great. I wouldn't have been offended. I'd have been happy for his joy. I just want to, just here to spread a little joy. I couldn't believe the guy. They were so miserable. Anyway, those two. But that guy actually then came back and actually asked for some stuff later. So he obviously had a softened heart. He had a bit of repentance, which is good going on there. But anyway, so we dare not let anything that the enemy might do steal our joy from us. So we've already gone over that. So I'm just going to leave that because I'm running out of time. So joy flows from fellowshipping with him, faith in him, fearlessness through him, making Jesus our king. Joy flows from being obedient, from making him our king. Joy flows from knowing him as a friend, intimately, knowing what he loves to do and partnering with him in the work. And joy comes from knowing the story, the end of the story, knowing the whole story. That actually, even death is nothing to be afraid of. It's just a doorway into another dimension. That's all it is. So nothing can by any means harm you. Nothing. That's amazing. So much joy flows from this story. It's the oil of gladness, obedience, intimacy, and lion-heartedness. I had to work a bit with the L. But once I thought of it, I couldn't let it go. But you know, just a bit of fun to finish. See, if you don't have obedience, you'll be ill. You feel guilty, you feel sick, you feel a bit bleh. If you don't have intimacy, it'll be same old, same old. Be boring. If you don't have L, it'll be oi. That's Hebrew, by the way, for woe. Oi vey. Woe. There's no resurrection. If there's fear in us, you know, that's woe. But if we've got the whole three, we've got oil. There's joy. It's the oil of gladness. That's a bit of fun for me anyway. You've got to entertain yourself somehow when you're preparing these messages. I'm joking with you. I enjoy it. Lord Jesus, you know, this is amazing, amazing stuff. Daniel, you are anointed with the oil of joy. Will you please stand? Just stand. God says, will you stand for me, Daniel? Can I have some musicians up as well, please? Because I just want you to work with us in this. Thank you. Love the worship earlier, by the way. Just play anything. That's fine. Just make a noise. Joyful noise. I was praying about just, you know, God. I just felt God wants to release something new this morning. And your name came to mind. And so I just believe that he wants to anoint you with the oil of joy again this morning, Daniel. And when I see you, the Spirit always speaks to me of ministry. It always speaks to me that he wants you in a place where you're ministering his oil. And so I've told you a few stories today of God partnering with God, but that's just a few. It's the tip of the iceberg. And that joy is yours, my friend. That joy is yours. There's a great, great joy, and God says get out despite the rain. The enemy's going to throw rain at you. The enemy's going to try and discourage you, but there are going to be others who are going to get you to go out in the rain. And the Lord says, be bold, go out, just whatever the weather, go out, because you're going to meet me when you go out. When you step out in faith, I'm not going to let you down. When you step out in faith, I'm going to meet you, and there's going to be stories that are going to bring joy to your heart on the journey, on the walk up the mountain, because God is taking you to the mountaintop. Because you know, we want to get to that place like Habakkuk, where despite the weather, he says, you the Lord God is my strength. He's made my feet like hinds feet. I shall tread on my high places. I shall walk in the mountaintops. I shall live above the weather. And that's for you, my friend. That's for you. It's calling you. It's calling you. And it's calling you into intimacy. It's calling you into prayer. It's calling you into Bible study. Because I see you ministering from His Word. I just see you bringing oil of joy. And I see you bringing His kingdom. So, yeah. And it's the case, you've worn that Christmas jumper, but you haven't worn it. You've worn a Christmas jumper, but you've also wanted to blend in, which I kind of like. But God is asking you to stand out, okay? God is asking you to stand out. He wants others to look at you and see Him in you. And that means you've got to stand out, I'm afraid. It's not easy. You're like me in that sense. You'd rather be in the back. You'd rather be quiet, but God says, no, that's not your place. I'm calling you out the front. I'm calling you into a place where people will see you and they'll hear what you have to say, because I've anointed you and I'm going to fill your mouth with wonderful things. Amen. So be bold, my friend. Be bold.